Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marzi Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, as five bomb-laden cars exploded in Iraqi Kurdistan, one may remember what the president of that region said recently. He vowed to defend the large Kurdish population in neighboring Syria from al-Qaeda terrorists. Could these bombs be the price that he has to pay? And how much of a risk is there that the violence taking place in Syria is spilling over to Kurdistan in Iraq?
Multiple car bomb attacks have rocked the city of Erbil in Iraq's semi-autonomous Kurdistan region. Plumes of smoke are billowing over the site of the attacks. Five cars laden with explosives were blown up outside Erbil's security headquarters. Several people were killed and many were injured. A few minutes later, attackers exchanged fire with security forces. A number of assailants were reportedly killed. The terrorist attacks in Erbil took place just a day after the results of the region's parliamentary elections were announced. The Kurdish self-rule region has been largely peaceful compared to the rest of Iraq. This is only the third major terrorist incident in the area since 2007. There are some speculations as to who might have been behind the Erbil bombings. Some are pointing the finger at the al-Qaeda offshoots in Iraq and Syria, including the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, active in both countries, and also the notorious al-Nusra Front, which is fighting against the Syrian government. The motive is said to be retaliation for the Kurdistan region's support for Kurdish fighters in Syria. The Syrian Kurds have been embroiled in deadly clashes with the al-Qaeda offshoots in Syria over the past months. The Kurds have managed to push the insurgents out of much of their native land, inflicting heavy casualties on them. Meanwhile, there are divisions among Kurdistan officials over the Kurdish groups in Syria. Two of the biggest Kurdish parties, the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan and the Kurdistan Workers' Party, have joined forces to try and curb the power of the president of the Kurdistan region, Masoud Barzani, in Syria. Barzani has been working together with Turkey to limit the PKK's influence in Syria. The Sunday terrorist attacks in Erbil have marked one of the most serious spillovers of the Syrian conflict into neighboring countries.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of London, journalist and political commentator, Mr. Richard Millett, and out of Erbil, human rights activist, Wishyar Marlow. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, let me start it off in London with Richard Millett. In your perspective, why is it that until now Kurdistan and Iraq appeared as if it was basically insulated from the violence in the rest of the country?
Well, Iraqi Kurdistan, the northern part of Iraq, has had large amounts of autonomy, and it's had its own security establishment, security forces, that has, to a certain extent, been effective. And we've seen this huge outbreak recently, over the last 6 or 7 months, of massacres taking place in Iraq. We've also seen the clashes, as your report stated, between the Kurds in Syria, and which has been caused by differences of opinion, to a certain extent, with what's been happening in the opposition to Assad in Syria. And as we've seen, the opposition in Syria has now been taken over very strongly by the al-Nusra Front and other affiliates of al-Qaeda, who have renounced the leadership of the Syrian National Coalition. So obviously, at the beginning, the Kurdish autonomous, the Kurdish regions in Syria were fighting alongside the uprising against Assad, but now we've seen a splintering, a difference of opinions on a massive scale. So now it's become infighting, and this has spilled over from Syria into northern Iraq, okay, and also from Iraq itself, okay, into northern Iraq. So no one's claimed responsibility, as I understand it, but it looks as if it's al-Qaeda.
Okay, what about that, Mr. Marlow? Your perspective. Who do you think are the most likely culprits of these attacks, these bombs?
Today was a very sad day in Erbil. After a long time of stability and good security, our condolences for the families of the victims. I just wanted to correct one information that there were only two bombed cars that exploded today in front of Minister of Interior and Security Agency. This is according to the government's report, and there were six suicide terrorists, and the security agency stopped three other cars before explosion. But if I comment on what's this related to the politics and what's happening in Kurdistan, especially after the elections, I think this was a very strong message to the government authorities, especially to the security authorities in Kurdistan, that the target is not people, the target are the security agencies. And today, Al-Qaeda announced its responsibility of the accident. You know, in Iraq, we have also the Iraq Islamic State, which is a part of Al-Qaeda, a terroristic group. But maybe also because here in Kurdistan region, all the security agencies were celebrating the results of the elections, and they were kind of ignoring their duties, and this was a gap. There was a gap in the security procedures, and at the end of the day, it's the responsibility of the security agencies and responsibility of the government.
Okay, well, Mr. Millet, Iraqi Kurdistan President Barzani had recently said that he would support the Kurds inside of Syria against the insurgents. How much of that do you think that that's possibly related to what we have seen today?
Well, you know, I don't think Al-Qaeda needs any excuse based on the words of what any man says. If you have a difference with Al-Qaeda, if you don't agree with their mission, which is to impose their beliefs on anyone and everyone, then you are a target, as we've seen repeatedly over certainly very recently in Iraq, where many Shia crowds have been targeted, and we've seen in Nigeria, in Nairobi, in the Westgate shopping centre. Anyone that doesn't agree with Al-Qaeda affiliates are going to be targets. And as my colleague said, in northern Iraq, in Iraqi Kurdistan today, there might have been some sort of spillover from taking your eye off the ball after the recent elections there, which is obviously maybe Al-Qaeda planned. They thought this would be a weakness and an opportunity to retaliate against what has been happening in northeastern Syria between the Al-Qaeda affiliates and the Kurds protecting their own communities from Al-Qaeda.
Okay, so Mr. Millet, let me expand on something you've just said.
Mr. Millet. To the heart.
Okay, let me expand on something you've just said. I want to open this up a little bit, because you talked about, as far as this possibly repercussion of the situation in Syria and the Al-Qaeda groups. How much of a responsibility would you lay on many of these Western countries and Persian Gulf countries that actually armed and funded these Al-Qaeda groups now that, as even it appears, to be out of their control?
Well, I'm not sure who you mean by...
Staying in London, staying in London.
I think you said Western countries have funded... I'm not quite sure who you mean by which Western countries have funded these Al-Qaeda affiliates. I mean, I know there's a strong implication that maybe Saudi Arabia has something to do with it. And there is some sort of proxy war, to a certain extent, that's taking place, I understand, between Saudi Arabia and Iran. And you can sort of turn the question and say, who is funding the other side of the coin? Who is funding, who is supporting Assad? And you could say Iran, and you can say Hezbollah. So, you know, you can look at both sides of the coin.
Well, it's a different subject. If we get into who's cutting the heads, unfortunately, who's eating the liver of the insurgents there. But that's a whole nother subject. We're not talking about Syria right now. But let me turn back to Arbil, Mr. Manlow. I want to look at that, this effect now of what has happened in Syria, that we have seen now more than 2 years of money, of funds, of arms, all kinds of weapons being basically sent there, obviously without not a whole lot of management, and now have ended up in the hands of these extremist groups. How does this affect your country and now the Kurdistan region in particular?
As I said, this was after a long time of stability in Kurdistan. Actually, Kurdistan region is surrounded by many terroristic areas, let's say, or terroristic controlled areas. You can see in Iraq many explosions every day. You can see what's happening in Syria now. I don't want to accuse anyone or any party, external or internal, but there were thousands of Syrian people entered to Kurdistan with no strong or powerful, let's say, security procedures. And at the end of the day, no one can stop terrorism. Like this happens in USA, in UK, everywhere. So terrorism, I don't think this accident can be considered as a part of measuring the security situation of in Kurdistan. On the other hand, there were a procedure of elections in Kurdistan, as you said. Yesterday, results of the elections been announced. And what Al-Qaeda does, usually, they try to make problem among political parties. They try to make other political parties to accuse each other. And we have seen this in Iraq. When problems happens, when the issue between, for example, Shia and Sunni becomes hard, and then Al-Qaeda enters to this and try to make some problems in Sunni area, and then some accidents, some terrorism movements, actions in Shia areas, at the end of the day to make them fight. And this is kind of what we are used to for the last 10 years in Iraq.
Okay, well, I wanted to get to take a look at some of our Facebook comments. Let's see what some of our viewers have put on our wall.
Everyone should know that the fire in Syria is not controllable. This fire is spilling over to Syria's neighbors and other countries. It's a duty for every peace-loving nation to work on a political solution and put an end to the insurgency in Syria. The bombings in Erbil are another evidence of the fact that insecurity in any country will affect the situation in nearby regions. Let's set the priority to defend each country's security instead of playing with fire that can burn everything. My advice to Iraq's Kurdistan President Masoud Barzani is, do not repeat the mistakes of the former Emir of Qatar. Do not try to play a role bigger than your geographic size, otherwise you will pay a heavy price and bring back sufferings to your nation.
Okay, well, let's look at some of these comments, Mr. Millett. What do you make of that? It seems that this fire, as our viewer has said, has gotten totally out of control, that was actually lit by others in Syria. Now we see the situation spilling over in Lebanon, in Turkey, in Iraq. In your perspective now, what is the key to basically extinguish this fire that has basically now affected most of the region?
Well, this is obviously something, I mean, I absolutely agree with those comments, that this is a spillover, that the region is up in flames, and all of the countries, unfortunately, are being affected either by terrorism or by an influx of refugees into their countries, and it's a problem for them to support the millions of people, the millions of refugees that are now being caused. So, you know, this is a very complex question. What happens to douse this fire? And we've seen that a coming together to a certain extent of Russia and America in the Security Council with this recent resolution to get rid of the chemical weapons in Syria, for example. Now, we've got to see whether that's going to actually be successful. And is this going to be an opportunity for America and Russia to talk about peace and how to go about maintaining or achieving some sort of peace in Syria? And that Syria is the crux of the problem at the moment. If you can come to some sort of peace deal in Syria, then obviously this will have beneficial knock-on effects to Lebanon, to Jordan, to Iraq, to northern Iraq. And this will be an opportunity for the civilians in these countries to have some sort of respite from the fear of going about their everyday actions that could cause them horrendous death or horrendous injury. But it's a very complex situation, and you've got to also discuss the role that Iran is playing in stoking up the problem in Syria and Hezbollah. So, you know, all these countries, you know, it's very easy to blame Al-Qaeda, which are causing a lot of the problems, but this is what Al-Qaeda wants. But a lot of the problem, a lot of the fire is also being stoked by Iran and Hezbollah and by Assad himself. So who knows in Geneva? Let's hope within the next year, we've got a very important year coming up with a view to getting some sort of, getting rid of the chemical weapons in Syria, and more importantly, getting a peace in Syria, and also getting some sort of detente with Iran with a view to stopping its imminent possibility of it achieving a nuclear bomb, which is also going to, you know, even if you do get peace in Syria, you're going to have a massive problem in the region once Iran's got the bomb, because with that threat...
Okay, interesting perspective, an interesting subject. We're talking about right now the situation in Kurdistan. Now, Mr. Miley, your perspective with this, it seems like this can of worms have been opened in this region. I want your perspective. Do you think that had not external parties from the region, if they had not gotten involved in the Syrian situation, that we would be looking at what we're looking at today, not only in Syria, but the spillover that's affecting so many countries in the region?
No one can say that what happened in Kurdistan has no external links or external intervention. As you know, if we have a good reading for the accidents here, the region, the whole region, the Middle East, is suffering from war, terrorism, as my colleague said, chemical weapons, nuclear problem. So it's the problem that it's happening in all the region, and no one is accepted. There is no exception for any country. Not Kurdistan, no Iraq, no even Turkey or all the countries. So they are all target for the terroristic groups in the region. There are many different agendas in the region. There is agenda by some Gulf countries. There is agenda by Iran. There is extreme agenda by those terroristic groups. There are different agendas, government here, etc. So at the end of the day, you are in a place that is all surrounded by fire. It's all surrounded by wars. For Kurdistan, I hope this will not make us to give up. And I think, or I hope, this will make us more strong and stronger. This will unify Kurdistan people, because there were kind of division, especially, you know, what happens during elections and the electoral campaigns. I hope this will make us more unified. Today, I work for NGOs, for some human rights organizations. Today, we were about to postpone our meeting because of this accident, but at the end of the day, we decided to do it in order to show people that life goes on here. This will not stop us from our activities. Now, if you go to Erbil market, I don't say everything is normal, but people are going back to their jobs. Everyone is trying to, you know, to practice its their normal things, their jobs, their shops, etc.
Okay, and Mr. Millett, how likely is it that because the majority of Middle East experts and regional experts would say that Saudi Arabia is the main supporter of these Al-Qaeda and Takfiri insurgents. How likely, if this is the case, would it be that the international community, being led by Washington and London, would actually start putting the pressure on Riyadh to make sure that the fires in the region can start to be extinguished?
Well, how long is a piece of string? I mean, Saudi Arabia obviously isn't going to admit to what you suggest. It's going to be hard to uncover the financial link of who exactly is financing all of the horror that is taking place. There's terrorism is financed somehow by individuals, by organizations, not necessarily governments. As my friend said, people, there are many agendas, many interconnecting agendas, and you just can't necessarily accuse one country of causing all this. This is an interconnected problem involving many different agendas, many different countries, and many different religions.
All right, Mr. Millett,
this is a very complex situation.
Okay.
You can't just blame one country.
I appreciate you being with us. We are out of time. I appreciate both of you. Mr. Richard Millett, journalist and political commentator out of London, and Mr. Wishyar Mallo, human rights activist out of Erbil. We appreciate you guys being with us. And of course, viewers, we love having you. And make sure you join us right here, same time, same place tomorrow. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for the debate, and all the crew right here in Tehran. Goodbye.